Good evening. I have the extreme pleasure this evening of having one of my good friends as our guest, a beautiful girl whom you will recall as having taken the part of the other woman in many film productions. In fact, she co-starred with Clive Brooks, John Barrymore, Victor McLaughlin, Ronald Coleman, Walter Kidman, and many other great stars. She is likewise a renowned singer, having made her opera debut as Neda in Pagliacci. And more than that, she has recently become an author, and her new book, Park Avenue Doctor, will be published next month. It's indeed a pleasure for me to have with us Jane Winston. Jane, thank you for being on our program today, and I should like to ask you, we're talking about the movie stars. You know, Clive Brooks is in a play in New York called Second Threshold.
Yes, indeed, I do. And I also know that it's been produced by your sister Mary's husband, Alfred Giliaza.
Well, Jane, you're wonderful. I haven't seen the play, but I look forward to seeing it very soon.
I look forward to it, too, because I'm very fond of Clive, and I'm happy he's back here with us again.
What prompted you to go into opera and leave the film, Jane?
Well, actually, it was Walter Pidgeon who gave me the idea. We were doing a picture together called Melody of Love.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
And they were trying to get every imaginable sound, so they suggested I play and sing.
And?
Well, Walter seemed to be impressed with my voice and suggested that I stay. So I did. And very, very hard. After studying seriously for a couple of years, I just concentrated on music and languages and operatic roles. Finally, I made my debut as Neda in Pagliacci at the Brooklyn Academy of Music in New York.
Yeah.
And I might say I almost died.
You don't mean you had stage fright, do you, Jane?
Well, this is the curtain was to go up on the Birdsong, which, as you know, is one of the most difficult of soprano arias. I was standing behind the curtain thinking, oh, I could faint. Or I could make believe I had a heart attack, or I could cry, or something. And by that time, my first chords got me started, and it was... I think all right.
Then when you did get into the role, all of this left you, and you were more concerned
well,
with your...
Well, once you get started, yes. You relax a bit, and
then on with the show.
That's right.
But your career, didn't it take you abroad? As I recall, you even had a radio program in London, didn't you, Jane?
Yes, I was doing some pictures over there for British Dominion, and every Sunday night at 8 o'clock, I worked on the Palmolive Hour. They had a radio program that was made on tape, and I don't know if you know or not, but British Broadcasting does not do any advertising.
Yes.
So the advertising of Palmolive was flown to Luxembourg and played from Luxembourg back.
Oh, how interesting.
So it was lots of fun. I used to make two and three programs at a time with Carol Gibbons' orchestra. He played at the Savoy Hotel.
Oh, yes. And speaking of hotels, I remember that you broke a record, really, didn't you, at the Plaza in New York? You sang there for more than 2 years.
Yeah.
And it was a record at that time. No one, including Hildegard, had been there 2 years other than Jane Winston.
Well, it was a great fun, and I had a marvelous experience. It was during the war, and Oscar Hammerstein asked me to do The Last Time I Saw Paris on a program that was piped into the war shelters of London in the darkest days, and I consider it a very great compliment. I had the program taken off on a record, so I'll have it when I'm an old lady and be able to play it and say, once upon a time.
Well, that's a very long time, Jane. You're speaking of war work, though. I remember your husband, Major Mike Gottlieb, was in the Army, but aren't you a Navy daughter, Jane?
Well, my grandfather was Admiral Lewis Wood Robinson. He was my mother's father. And when I was doing war work, I was very fortunate. The Navy gave me a commendation for my singing, and so I was most proud.
Well, indeed, you were. Speaking of World War II and those early days during World War II in Washington, D.C., I remember you very kindly went to Dumbarton Oaks, which has since become very famous.
Yes.
You, as a matter of fact, Marlene Dietrich, Dorothy Lamour, and many of the most interested stars who sang for our visiting guests from all over the world.
I remember it was outside in the garden on the terrace, and it was just beautiful.
The evening you were there, Lord and Lady Halifax were there, if you recall.
I remember.
And Senator Theodore Francis Green, and even His Excellency Ambassador Litvinov, you know, of course.
Oh, yes, yes.
Do you remember that evening, Jane, when we had the Soviets at
I do indeed. You were doing such wonderful work at the United Nations Club.
Well, Jane, I thought it would be of interest now, if you recall, the Russians were our allies, were they not?
Yes.
And everyone was courting them in 1942 and 1943, and we were trying to bring them into the United Nations. And I think you and Mike Gottlieb had a lot to do with it at that time.
Well, we gave a card party, do you remember?
Yes.
We had gin rummy and bridge and backgammon, and it actually was the first time they showed up at Hotel 2400 at the parties, I think.
That is true.
And the whole Russian contingent came over, but we were
pretty kind of floored because all they wanted to do was play chess.
Yes.
I wasn't prepared for that.
And it seems to me you ran out, didn't you?
And not only that, I went home and got a lot of trousers.
Yes, I remember.
In order to see that somehow or other the chess contingent was well represented in the prizes that were given out.
Yes, in other words, we weren't able to get the Soviets even to join any social activities in the nation's capital unless we played chess. And you and your famous husband, I think you should tell our listeners about your famous husband, don't
well,
you,
Well, Mike was one of the chess players with them. We had a little difficulty getting them partners and opponents, remember?
Yes, Louis Braunfels played, and mm-hmm. Admiral Ranette, head of the Dutch Navy, and many others. But you know what Mike, whom we're talking about, he's just about as famous as you are, though in another field.
More
so, is he really? Sure. Well, I know he was captain of the Four Aces, and he's probably the number one good player in the nation. Can't you tell us a word about him?
I think so.
Do you ever play with him?
Well, he really doesn't play bridge. He hasn't been playing it now for about 15 years, but just before we were married, he was the captain of the Four Aces then,
mm-hmm.
and they won the tournaments with the British team and the Hungarian team, and then they had the French team over in New York as their guest. They won them, too. And then afterwards we were married, the first tournament, once in a while he'd be very big-hearted and play with me, and I'd die. And then afterwards we entered a tournament, it was called the Mixed Pairs, it was the Eastern. And it was the most, one of the most important tournaments, Dorothy Sims, remember she was married to Howard.
Oh, indeed, I do remember.
Dorothy Sims and George Chilton gave a perfectly magnificent trophy that she kept for a year. And then in the meantime, Culbertson gave cups that you had for your highest score of the first night. It was tournament that lasted two nights. So Dorothy came over to me the second night, and we won the Culbertson Cup the first night.
Oh, you mean Mr. and Mrs. Gottlieb, and you
did have one.
Wonderful.
And so the second night, Dorothy came over, and she sang for her practical jokes, you know, and she said, well, you won the tournament, hands down. And I was so excited and so frightened. I said, oh, Dorothy, I don't think that's funny at all. Now, really, truly, you know, I was really upset about the whole thing. Sure enough, she was right.
Oh, you thought she was saying a practical joke on you.
Well, it must have been a thrill.
It was even another laurel in another field.
And we had this magnificent trophy on our piano for 1 year. That was all.
Oh,
that was
right.
We defended it and lost it.
Jane, I do wish we had television so that our radio audience could see you, how beautiful and lovely you are, and also how you're kind of describing these tournaments and these lovely gifts and prizes with your hands. You're going into a lot of gesticulations about them.
And maybe that's because the gown I have on came from Spain.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd like you to describe the gown you have on. Did you pick it up over in Spain, or was it sent from
Sunday? Last summer I went to Spain. I visited a girlfriend over there whose home was in Barcelona. It was the first time I'd ever been there, and it was really very exciting. You know, and I don't know whether the Spaniards were very happy about this or not, everything they would try to show off to me, I would say, well, it's just like the Virgin Islands. And it really is. The terrain is very much like the Virgin Islands.
Well, I was going to ask you about the Virgin Islands, but Spain was so interesting when you mentioned your dress because we have only a week ago, I believe, established full relationship with Spain. We've just sent a new ambassador, Catherine Griffiths. I was reading about it in Life magazine.
I know him.
So you were there in anticipation of all of this.
Well, this was the first time I'd ever been there. And, of course, instead of going oh and ah about everything, all I said was, well, it's just like the Virgin Islands. The color of the water is just all like jewels.
I remember reading about the Virgin Islands in Mayfair magazine. I think you more or less, I would say, put the Virgin Islands on the map here in the United States, Jane.
Yeah.
Well, according to this article, I think you did. Didn't you go down there after skiing for 2 years?
Well, I was going to say I was really awfully tired after my Persian room stint, and I thought I needed a vacation. So I went down there, and things were quite primitive at that time.
This was when, Jane?
Oh, about 2.5 years ago.
Yes.
And I just thought I'd try to find some beautiful spot that I could use as a fishing shack or something like that. And, you know, come the atom bomb, I'd live on a pineapple and a cotton dress and go fishing or something. Well, when I went down there, I went over to the island of St. Croix. And that is the way they pronounce it.
St. Croix, C-R-O-I-A.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes. And it's the largest of the three of the Virgin Islands. And it's the most gentle island. It's really lovely. And the people that live there today, the white population is very small. They're the descendants of the governors of the island. And they're quite exclusive in their attitude toward tourists. They're not too happy about making it like St. Thomas. I would say that there's the same rivalry between the island of St. Thomas and St. Croix that is between Miami and Palm Beach.
Well, you might even say, as there sometimes is between Phoenix and Tucson here in Arizona.
Well,
unless you don't know what you mean.
Or Los Angeles and San Francisco, you know, in California, you know.
Yes, but Jane, I love hearing about the Virgin Islands. I'm so anxious, though, to talk about your new book, Park Avenue Doctor, which is to be published in April, is it not?
Yes, toward the end of the month.
Yes, how did you happen to choose writing as a career anyway?
Well, actually, it chose me.
Oh, did it?
Chronologically.
What do you mean?
Well, as you know, acting was my first choice, and then singing was my second. But I found that neither of these careers fit in well with a happy marriage, so, well, they took me away from home, and I preferred being with my husband. And since one writes with one's head and one's heart, I just thought that wherever you are, and you can find some pencil and pencil,
yes,
why, you're all right.
Well, that's good advice. But how in the world do you find time to write with so many varied interests?
I guess I'm blessed with a tremendous amount of energy.
Well, you are that, all right. What do you think is the most important factor in writing a novel?
Oh, Meredith, what a question. Well, let's see. I'd say that it's necessary to have a set of characters that are interesting enough and sympathetic enough for the reader to identify himself with one of them.
I see. So that you feel a very strong relationship with the characters,
yes,
whom you're writing about.
Don't you think that almost everyone that reads has a feeling of escape? And if you can live someone else's existence or someone else's problems, whether they're happy or unhappy, why, it gets away from your own.
Well, that is certainly an interesting bit of information. Would you say, is it necessary to study the mechanics of writing in order to be a writer?
Oh, for me, yes.
What do you mean for you? Now, what do
well,
you do?
Well, I couldn't answer for any other writer, but I know that having started writing as a career fairly later, after having two other careers, I didn't feel as though I knew much about it. It was more wistful thinking than anything else.
Did you go to Columbia University?
I spent several years taking courses there at the Columbia University, and I really consider it most valuable. But when I had an idea for this novel, I discussed it. You know, you remember Catherine Albert?
Yes, I do.
Well, she's a very famous short story writer, yes. Cosmopolitan, Woman's Home Companion, all those books, magazines. Well, at one time she used to be head of the publicity department and met the Golden Mayor.
Oh, right.
When I was doing pictures out there. So we've been friends for a long time. And she's so enthusiastic about my writing career. But I was telling her about this idea I had for a novel, and I said, you know, there's a novel course at Columbia. I think I'll take it. She said, I think you ought to sit down and write your book.
Before?
Yeah. So I just was appalled with the idea of all those words. And having taken a couple of years courses in short stories, I just, she suggested that I think of each chapter of the book as a short story.
Thank you.
And it was quite a wonderful approach for me, because it made it so much easier.
But then, do you find that environment influences one's creative ability?
Oh, I certainly do. Wherever I am, I see it there.
Wherever you are, you see a story?
Well, I guess that's natural. Park Avenue Doctor was the result of my New York environment. And now I'm working on another book that's with a Virgin Island background that was evolved from my interest there. And I built this guest house called Pink Fancy in the little town of Christiansted on St. Croix. And all my story in the Virgin Island story is all about pirates and hurricanes and slave revolts. It's really high romance and very exciting.
Well, this is the one you're writing right now, isn't
yeah.
it?
Mm-hmm.
But now, as to Park Avenue Doctor, the one that's published next month, doesn't it have a medical theme?
Actually, no. It's a love story with a medical background. There, our family doctor helped me. I've always been interested in medicine, and I feel many of the aspects of Park Avenue Doctor will be equally interesting to the layman. Our doctor, our family doctor, supplied the medical information which I tried to translate into terms of human emotion.
But do you agree, as so many people say, that if you're talented in one field, you are equally as talented in another?
Well, I know that a lot of people wouldn't agree with that, but I've always found that if one creative field is closed to you, another one opens up. I hope this last one will stay with me because I'm enjoying it so much.
Well, I'm sure that it will stay with you, Jane. I'd like to tell our listeners how thrilled we are that you and your husband have become Arizona residents. You have you not?
Oh, yes. I'm happy to hear you say you're thrilled, because I'm thrilled, too.
Well, you have bought this lovely place, and that's your broadcasting right from your home in a beautiful citrus grove.
Mm-hmm.
And you're writing your new book here, too, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, and I actually corrected all my galleys to Park Avenue Doctor here.
Did you? Well, then your writing career has really been somewhat inspired in Arizona.
Definitely, and I'm already getting ideas for my next book with an Arizona background.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we certainly look forward to Park Avenue Doctor, which will be out
Mary.
Next month. And thank you very much, lovely Jane Winton, for being our guest this evening.
Meredith, I'm so happy to be with you.